during Lowe's Pro Savings Days. Save more on the brands you trust to deliver on the job. Right now, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 8-amp-hour battery when you buy a DeWalt 10-inch 20-volt max dual bevel compound miter saw. Plus, get up to 35% off select major appliances. Save even more on what you need to keep the job moving. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/31 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This summer, whatever you're watching, baseball, golf, soccer, racing, DraftKings has you covered for every single moment of it. The DraftKings Sports app is now available in all 50 states, bringing the game straight to your fingertips wherever you are. New DraftKings customers, sign up with code KSR. Spend $5 to get 150 in rewards within 14 days. Includes all markets. That's code KSR. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. Connecticut? Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, bet tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus. Void in Canada. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Availability varies. Predictions offer void in New York. Bet to get bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Trade to get prediction dollars that expire in 1 year. $50 in rewards issued every 7 days via click to claim for 14 days. One non-withdrawable reward redeemable. Terms at dkng.co/offer. Limited time offer.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Anything else improper that either side wishes to do?
No.
Mr. Banker, if you could wait outside for a couple minutes.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Your Honor, this witness has been called by the defense to refute the suggestion that all children's billed $500,000 for CRPS care. As this witness was about to testify, CRPS was one of many diagnoses that gets bundled together into a group of codes that are then submitted to Aetna, that then reimbursed. He absolutely has foundational knowledge to testify to that, and I don't think the plaintiffs are disputing that. Well, the only thing they're disputing is, can he be shown an Aetna transaction report, which contains a complete mirror image of the All Children's Bill that the plaintiff failed to put into evidence, and testify on that document and say, based on this, it confirms that All Children's Hospital sent a bill to Aetna for this charge. This was paid with no co-pays, and the diagnosis codes that were submitted for this amount included complex regional pain syndrome along with 11 other diagnosis codes. It was Mr. Kowalski was entitled to take the stand and testify to what all of these documents meant, with no foundation that he had any experience at all in interpreting third-party daily transaction reports. Clearly, this witness has vast more experience than Mr. Kowalski does. He knows exactly where the codes came from because he reviewed the medical bills from All Children's and Crawford. If it's just a matter of this, I can direct examine him without showing him this, and he can still proffer the same testimony that I reviewed all the All Children's bills, and I can just walk him through it. You know, did it include these diagnoses, and how does that come together to represent a charge? So I think the only narrow question is, can I do it through this document? And I can tell you from an authenticity standpoint, it absolutely matches the bill that was submitted.
Mr. Whitney.
He has foundational issues. He's never worked at any insurance company to have any foundation or knowledge to comment on how the bills from Aetna that are in evidence are created, how that information is coalesced, why they appear the way they do. He also has never been a medical coder, so he can't comment on the diagnostic codes and how those are arrived at. And that's where this is going to go, to him being allowed to interpret how the Joint Exhibit 1001, the medical records from Johns Hopkins, go from there through a medical coder, he's never been, to the insurance company, and then how the insurance company turns those around and why we see these documents in front of us.
Which is an unknown to expert opinion.
Very brief response, Charlie. It sounds like the plaintiff's position is, without the diagnostic expertise of an expert coming in on medical coding and saying that these codes were not properly done and these are not properly on the bill, that it's that a jury could not hear that information and grasp it. So again, we would move at this point for a directed verdict because they've never produced a medical coder, a medical biller, or anyone with the expertise that the plaintiff is now requiring all Children's to bring to trial and refute. They've never put the medical bills in evidence. They've never brought medical coding. They've never brought an expert in medical billing. The window's closed for this, and now they're trying to prevent the defense from bringing an extremely qualified witness. I don't think anyone's disputing that he is qualified to talk about how hospital charges are generated with various diagnosis codes. It's what he does all day, every day. So it's fascinating to the defense that the plaintiff is taking the position that they didn't put the medical bills in evidence, that this testimony, before it can go to the jury, has to be done from an expert coder, and they have neither.
It seems to me, and I recollect, although I don't remember the exact contours, is there was an agreement between the parties before the plaintiffs rested concerning the medical bill issue. And I just don't I don't recollect the exact contours of the agreement. I remember when Mr. Altenburn and Mr. Whitney were going back and forth, there was discussions back then about the defendants not moving for a directed verdict if they wouldn't do certain things. And I just don't remember.
If I could help clarify.
I don't think it matters at this point. Let me try to talk my way through this. So I do remember that there was some specific issues, although the contours of them I don't recall. What it seems, Mr. Whitney, that you're attempting to have me say is that this witness can't testify to something that it seems like people under him deal with on a day in and a day out basis. He, being this witness, testified he was over the medical coders, and that these are the types of things that are routinely reviewed. So, you know, it seems to me that, yes, he's commenting on a Aetna document, but the reality is you have the same ability to cross-reference the actual medical bill versus the Aetna. And if those two are somehow married to each other, which I suspect they are, although I don't know because I personally haven't gone and done it, but I suspect they are, or pretty close, then a lot of this is kind of a hyper-technical issue. And if the whole point is to seek the truth for the jury, then I don't think it really matters if there's really not a concern that on the Aetna side is somewhat or mostly mirrored to what's on the hospital side, then I'm fine with it and certainly would give the plaintiffs the ability to cross-examine and suggest that what's on the insurance side somehow doesn't match what's on the hospital. Now, maybe that is the case, and maybe we're going to have an explosive cross-examination on this particular issue of hospital bills.
Sure. Understood.
So that's a long-winded way of saying I'm going to let Mr. Shapiro continue with this witness. Let's bring in this witness. Let's bring in the jury.
Monitor okay? A spill down there?
No.
Okay, members of the jury, want to confirm while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves. You did no investigation or receive no information. Is that correct?
Correct.
And also, that you haven't seen any media about this case?
No.
And no one's approached you? Mr. Shapiro, you may continue.
Thank you. Clay, if you don't mind putting back up trial exhibit 2017-655. And Mr. Banker, in your role, are you familiar, do you oversee the people that do medical billing and coding?
Yes, sir.
In your role, are you familiar with what the various diagnoses codes are?
From what I'm seeing here, yes, sir.
And again, we left off looking at the top type of service provided what, sir?
It appeared to be room and board.
Okay. So let me talk to you about the diagnoses codes. Do you see down below, there's approximately 12 of them?
Yes, sir.
What I'd like you to tell the jury is this. How do these diagnoses codes generate into... Well, before I do that, let me ask you. How do these diagnoses codes relate to a medical charge? How do these come together?
Sure. So these diagnosis codes, what happens is a provider goes in, they see the patient, they do some form of workup with the patient, whether it was a consult, whether there was labs performed, whether there was any testing done, any services rendered. So a physician or provider is responsible for documenting all of the services that they render on that patient. Okay? Then we have a group of certified coders who go in, read the chart, read what services were performed, and then assign the appropriate CPT or HCPCS code for those services rendered.
So, actually, let's put up 1001-31, 0031, 1001-0031, and if you can go to the next page, please. I'll get there eventually, next page. Next page, next page, and one more page. Okay, Mr. Banker, I'll represent to you that this is the history and physical that Maya Kowalski came into All Children's Hospital on October 7th. And Clay, if you can highlight under impressions and chronic diagnoses, do you see where it says complex regional pain syndrome diagnosed by outpatient physicians?
That's correct, sir.
Is this the type of information that, in your experience overseeing coding, that the coders would look for to see what types of diagnosis codes to put on a medical bill?
Yes, sir. They would take a look at this.
So let's go back to what we were talking about, trial exhibit 2017-655. And again, we'll expand. There you go. So now we see the first diagnosis there of complex regional pain syndrome. And then there's a number of other diagnoses codes on the left. So, for example, they line up, but maybe you can help. Is the G90.59, what does that diagnosis code for?
That represents complex regional pain syndrome.
And then the T76-02XA, what is that?
Child neglect or abandonment suspected.
And then the next one, B37.81?
Yeah, candidal esophagitis.
Okay. And in fairness, you're not a medical doctor, right?
That's correct, sir.
Okay. So without wasting time and going through all 12, can you explain to the jury how did these 12 diagnoses codes get on there? Is that from the coding process?
That's from the provider documenting all the services that they have rendered. And then a coder, a professional certified coder, comes in and actually assigns the codes based upon the services that are rendered. And there's a separation of those kinds of duties to ensure the accuracy and integrity of what's being done.
Yeah, and can you, if you can explain to the jury, what do you mean by that separation of duties?
Yeah, we like to ensure that the coders, every organization that I've ever worked at, the professional or certified coding teams, have a working relationship with the providers, but they do not have a reporting relationship to the providers. We do that to allow for accuracy and integrity of the work that's being done. We want to ensure that the coders are not biased in what they're utilizing for the codes that they're putting down for the services that are rendered.
So how does these codes work together to generate a bill?
So these codes work together to create a DRG, which is a diagnosis-related grouping that is submitted on a claim.
Okay, and what is a DRG? Like, how did, is there like, did, sure. Do you pick that? Does a computer pick it?
So the DRG is generated. So DRGs, diagnosis-related grouping. To better understand what a DRG is, think of an everything pizza, right? You have the dough, you got the sauce, then you got the cheese, then you got the mushrooms, peppers, onions, the bacon, pepperoni, all that good stuff, right? Well, the DRG is that pizza. It's the all-encompassing of all the ingredients that were created. So these diagnosis codes, when combined together, create a DRG, which is then fired and triggered by the system to go out on the door on a claim.
And is the charge that goes from All Children's to Aetna based on that DRG?
The charge is based upon the DRG.
So, to be very clear, when All Children's is submitting a charge for $69,621, that's not for just complex regional pain syndrome, is it?
No, sir. Based upon what I'm seeing here, there's multiple services that were rendered, and because of the type of service, room and board, I would imagine that was part of the charges as well. In fact, when I looked at the hospital bills that we had submitted on behalf of All Children's Hospital, the vast majority of the charges were actually room and board, respiratory therapy, physical therapy, and occupational therapy.
Okay. Do you remember the exact charge for room and board as a security day?
Room and board charges are typically around $4,500 a day, give or take, in that range.
Well, let me ask you, do you remember what the monthly charge for room and board, or would it refresh your recollection if I showed you the bill?
Can you show me the bill, please, sir?
If I may approach on it?
You may. I'll show it to Mr. Whitney first.
Sure.
Thank you, sir. Okay.
And if you can tell the jury this, what is the charge on the All Children's bill for the room and board?
Yeah, so we have PEDS beds days of 23 units, meaning that patient was in a bed for 23 days. Those charges were for $69,621. We then have 7 units or 7 days where the patient was in an ICU bed, and those charges were $50,071.
Let me stop you there. On the first one, you said that the charge submitted for the bed was $69,621?
For all 23 days, sir.
Okay, and if you look on your screen, does that match the charge submitted for room and board?
It's very much so, yes, sir.
If I may approach you?
You may.
Oh, and by the way, do the diagnosis codes on this sheet match the diagnosis codes on the hospital bill in front of you?
At glance, yes, sir.
Okay, if I may approach. To your knowledge, is that room and board charge there regardless of the actual diagnoses?
That's correct, sir.
Okay, so let me ask you next about the process. And I think you sort of talked to the jury earlier about what would happen. Well, let me ask you, in your position as the billing, in your position overseeing finance at All Children's, what would happen if All Children's wasn't providing care for these 12 diagnoses codes? What would you expect to see?
Objection, foundation, overruled. You can answer.
Yeah, so what we would expect to see, it's not uncommon practice for any insurance company to deny a claim if they feel that the claim was billed in error. In this instance here, the claims that we had submitted to Aetna, none of the claims that we have submitted, to my recollection, have ever been denied for either med necessity or no authorization or for any reason whatsoever. In fact, Aetna actually paid us for the services rendered that we had there.
So, for example, if All Children's Hospital was representing to Aetna that they were billing for Complex Regional Pain Syndrome but not providing services for that, in your experience, would Aetna have rejected the claim?
There would have been a denial.
So let me show you what next is Trial Exhibit 2017-767. And again, if you can pull it out a little bit there, at the top, again, under the provider name, this was from All Children's Hospital. Do you see that, Mr. Banker?
Yes, sir.
And then this was, for example, the January 5th bill. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
And to the extent you know, why is there a charge submitted and an amount paid?
From what I could see here, the diagnosis code T74.19XA was the diagnosis code. What this bill is relating to, from what I'm seeing here, it looks like it's 26 services for $78,702, and the type of service rendered is room and board.
Okay. So, I guess the simpler question I was trying to ask you, there's a difference in the what All Children submit and what they get paid by Aetna. Is that based on the contractual?
Oh, rates? Absolutely. Okay. So what you see submitted as charges, we have a contract with any insurance company that, any insurance company that we have a contract with, we have agreed upon reimbursement for those services rendered. In this instance, we had charged $78,702 for the services rendered. We had agreed to accept as payment $44,073 for all the services that we provided on that for that claim.
Okay. And just to be clear, and I think everyone here, for better or for worse, has experience with medical bills, the difference is not because Aetna said we didn't provide the services. That's just the contracted reimbursement.
It's a contractual adjustment that is taken.
Okay. And the bills that are going are actually, what you're billing for is for the procedures and the services, not for the codes. Is that
That's correct, sir.
Okay. So, and in this case, I would direct your attention to the diagnosis codes. Do you see that in January, the diagnosis of complex regional pain syndrome fell from 1st to 5th?
Mm-hmm.
Is that yes?
Yes, sir.
And at least at this point, the child maltreatment had now risen to the primary diagnosis.
It was the primary focus of care, sir.
And is that what the medical coders are picking up in their review of the medical?
It's based upon the most services that are being rendered at that point in time for the care of the patient.
And in your review of the records, did you see at any point on this bill or any of the bills, Aetna saying that the services provided by All Children's did not match what All Children's represented to Aetna that they were performing?
No, I looked at two batches of information. I looked at the hospital bills that we submitted as an organization and validated that we have never received a denial for med necessity or no authorization. I also reviewed the correspondence between Ms. Kowalski and Aetna regarding physician services that were rendered. And I went through and I reviewed every one of those pages. And what I thought was interesting was it tells you very clearly in those documents whether or not a service was paid. And it would call out claim processed as in-network, meaning that the insurance company processed that claim. When I was going down through and looking at the correspondence, what was very intriguing was out of all those claims that I read and reviewed in that correspondence, there was one that was actually denied, and it was denied for $11 for a pathologist charge that was overseeing, you know, some lab results. And that really struck me because that tells me the thoroughness that Aetna was utilizing to evaluate all the claims that we were sending, that they just weren't, you know, just signing off on everything, that they were actually reviewing everything that we were sending in for submission reimbursement to the fact that they found an $11 charge that they said, no, this is part of a bundled payment. But that's the only denial that I saw out of all the correspondence.
Let me put up Trial Exhibit 2438-005. and they're grainy, so we're going to focus it on the top half of that. It's hard to see. Is this the one that you said was the $11? Oh, sorry. I think this one was approved. Is that right? Is that how I read this?
Yeah. It's on the state. There's one.
Yeah, I think it's a 2438-025. We'll focus in a little bit.
Yes.
So from your entire review of all the Aetna Messaging Center documents and all the records and all the bills of the totality that all children submitted, there was only a dispute from Aetna for $11. Is that right?
That's what I'm seeing right here, sir.
Okay. Based on your review of all the All Children's documents, all the responses from Aetna, the fact that Aetna agreed that the services provide... Well, let me ask you, when Aetna responds back to the hospital with an agreement to pay the bill, does that indicate to you whether they have found that the bills were medically necessary in relationship to the services?
I have found in my experience through 20-plus years in healthcare finance, insurance companies will deny claims for a multitude of reasons, up to and including medical necessity and no authorization. And I have not seen any of that in the notes that I reviewed here or in the hospital claims that I reviewed, sir.
While we're on that subject, you did have a chance to review a number of claims. Let me ask you about this. If we can go to Trial Exhibit 2017. If you could expand a little bit. This, again, would be similar to that Aetna, what did you call it before?
That's like a transaction report, sir.
Okay. And if you look on the sort of right-hand side of the first column, it says Quorum. It's a pharmacy company.
Mm-hmm.
That's not All Children's.
That's not All Children's, sir.
Okay. Do you know why this was submitted to the jury?
I can't tell you why it was submitted to the jury.
What about, let's go to the same exhibit number, but at 266. I'll expand a little bit. This is from Dr. Ashraf Hanna for services, and looks like February of 2016, before the hospitalization at issue. This isn't related to anything All Children's did, right?
That doesn't appear to be an All Children's provider, sir.
Overruled.
So let's go back and just confirm. You can take that down if you want, Clay. Did All Children's bill... Just a couple more questions, Mr. Baker. Did All Children's bill Aetna $500,000 for a complex regional pain syndrome?
No, sir. Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital billed $500,000 for a litany of services that were rendered. It wasn't complex regional pain syndrome. In fact, as I stated before, the vast majority of charges that we submitted were tied to room and board, respiratory therapy, physical therapy, and occupational therapy, along with a litany of other diagnoses that were performed on the patient.
I appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Whitney. Before we start talking about the bills, I just wanted to make sure I understood your career correctly.
Sure.
And you and I had a moment to speak outside the presence of the jury, so I won't try to rehash the whole thing. But am I correct that you've worked in the field for approximately 22 years?
I've worked in healthcare finance for approximately 22 years.
Right. And during... although you've been with several different hospital systems or health systems during those 22 years, you have worked never for an insurance company. Is that true?
That is correct.
And so as you sit here today, for example, if we put up exhibit 2017741, and it's similar to the documents you were just shown by defense counsel. I'm just selecting one here. You've never been involved in the creation of an insurance record like the one before you.
That's correct.
Right. All of your experience is drawn from the hospital side in submitting bills to the insurance companies.
All my experience has been on the provider side, sir.
Provider side, excuse me. Sir. Your testimony, however, is that the hospital bills bear a one-to-one relationship, a mere relationship, with these documents, correct?
My testimony is that I've reviewed the hospital claims, and based upon what I've seen here, there appears to be a match in what we have submitted to what this document is providing.
All right, so the jury can rely on the fact that looking at these Aetna documents, these are based upon the bills that Johns Hopkins submitted to Aetna.
I wouldn't make that leap, sir. I didn't create this report. What I'm telling you is that the information that we submit on claims, Aetna's pulling this information from somewhere off of the claims that we had submitted to them.
Can you or can you not testify to the validity of these bills?
I can testify, well, these are not bills, sir, but I can testify to the validity of the bills that we had sent to Aetna, and I can also intelligently explain what this stuff, what, you know, a lot of these items are talking about here on the screen.
All right. Looking at this, I'm sorry, you don't call this a bill. What do you call this?
It looks like some form of transaction report, sir.
All right. Looking at this transaction report, you'd agree with me that this particular one is from December 6th, 2016?
That is the date that it was received, sir. So that would, are you asking for when the receipt of the bill, or are you talking about the services or the date of the services being rendered?
The date that Aetna received the bill from Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital.
12/6/2016.
Right. And I know you focused with defense counsel on a couple of bills that were for room and board. This one says type of service, hospital, ancillary. You didn't focus on any of those with him. Would you please explain what hospital ancillary is?
Well, it's hospital ancillary, and its ancillary services are typically any services that are provided on a patient for a multitude of factors that are taking place. So if you look here, the ancillary care involves complex regional pain syndrome, child neglect, candidal esophagitis, and specified protein, calorie, malnutrition. What you see on the diagnosis codes here, sir, all these services and these diagnosis codes were individual services provided to that patient. So there are a multitude of services that were rendered on that patient to generate the charges submitted.
We're talking about medical services here.
That is correct, sir.
All right. And you testified earlier that the top diagnostic code is the focal point of that bill, correct?
The top diagnosis code is typically where a lot of the work is being focused on at that point in time of care.
And although you're not a medical bill or a coder, but you oversee them.
That's correct, sir.
Right. You're aware that certain diagnostic codes carry a higher reimbursement rate than others.
That's correct, sir.
All right. So, for example, something like complex regional pain syndrome carries a higher reimbursement rate than, let's say, constipation.
I wouldn't agree with that, sir.
You wouldn't?
I would not agree with that because the reason is the DRG that was submitted to Aetna for the hospital claims that we sent through, there was no specific reimbursement for the DRG. It actually triggered a per diem reimbursement model that we had with Aetna at that point in time. So I would not sit there and say that CRPS would generate increase, decrease, or remain neutral any DRG, because a DRG consists of multiple services that are provided, not just one.
You'd agree with me that complex regional pain syndrome is the focal point of this bill on December 6th.
I would agree that complex regional pain syndrome is the top line in this.
All right. And you've described the top line as the focal point earlier, right? You're not backing off that testimony, are you?
No, sir.
All right. Now,
charge submitted, $18,000, and then amount paid, just over $10,000. Again, for services, bills delivered in December 2016, with the focal point being complex regional pain syndrome, just over $10,000, correct?
There is also appears to be 12 other services that were running.
My question was, is complex regional pain syndrome the focal point of this bill where $10,000 was paid?
I can tell you that complex regional pain syndrome is part of what we had submitted for the
Are you backing off your testimony about the top line being a focal point?
I would ask that Mr. Whitney give the witness the time to respond.
I think he has, so you can continue.
Okay. Are you backing off your testimony that the top line of the bill is the focal point?
No, sir.
All right. So you'd agree with me that as December 2016, the focal point of this $10,000 that Johns Hopkins received was complex regional pain syndrome?
It appears to be, sir.
All right. Now, you talked a lot about how Aetna never challenged the billing and paid for all the billing.
I have, yes, sir.
All right. When Aetna communicates with someone like yourself inside the hospital system, how do they cross-check whether the diagnoses are valid or invalid?
So for this instance, there's a utilization management department inside the insurance company, and we have a utilization case management department and inpatient financial clearance teams. They work in conjunction to make sure that the services that we're going to provide are authorized to be performed. And during that period of time, there is communication or sometimes medical requests for information to maintain the authorization or to keep the care, you know, to make sure that the approved treatment plan is going forward. Once the authorizations are completed and you continue to send, and like I stated earlier, then from October through January, the first week of January, there was 14 correspondences mm-hmm. between Aetna asking for medical review or medical documents and All Children's Hospital that we provided. Once all that has been taken into consideration, we then send a bill to the insurance company to be adjudicated. If what we send does not line up with what is authorized, there will be a denial for a no authorization or a medical necessity, sir.
All right. Thank you for the explanation. In substantiating the billing, you provide them medical records on occasion.
As requested, sir.
As requested by, and then here, 14 different occasions. They
yeah, it appeared about every week, sir.
And the documentation you provide with the medical records.
That's correct, sir.
Right. So, and what the insurance company is looking for is to see if the diagnosis that you're submitting bills for is actually present in the medical records.
They're making sure that it's.
Right. Yeah. So, if a diagnosis that the hospital doesn't believe in is still carried forward in the medical records beyond the point that they believe that to be a diagnosis, insurance company doesn't know the difference, do they?
I can't honestly answer that question, sir. I don't know what you – can you ask it again?
Sure. Let me ask it a different way.
Yeah.
If you have physicians that came in here and testified that as of November 7th, they didn't believe complex regional pain syndrome was a diagnosis, insurance company doesn't know that, do they?
I don't know. I don't handle the mindset of the
that physician. Doctor keeps the diagnosis in the record. Insurance company looks, says it's still in the record. They don't actually interview the doctor and say, do you really believe this?
Well, I would disagree with you because, and here's why. It's not uncommon for insurance companies to sit there and ask for a peer-to-peer review with medical providers to ensure that the care is being done. That does happen.
Can you, in submitting these bills, can you just guess? Can you just guess at the diagnoses?
No, sir.
So if an anesthesiologist came in here, and when he's asked, does this child have complex regional pain syndrome or not, and the response is, what do you mean? Is that valid?
Objection, mischaracterization of evidence.
Overruled.
Ask your question again, please, sir.
If the anesthesiologist on the case doesn't mm-hmm. even know if complex regional pain syndrome is a valid diagnosis or not, is this a valid bill?
If the
objection, argument.
Overruled.
If the anesthesiologist, their job is to perform the services that is rendered or asked of them, and they will document that into the note, and then the coder will come in and provide the diagnosis code related behind it. So the difference is that you need to understand, and I think it's is that the services rendered would be captured by the coders, and that the fact that the coders are a separate entity from the providers, if it's in the record and it's documented and it's captured,
right,
they will code accordingly for it.
Right. So if you have an anesthesiologist who doesn't know what the diagnosis is, testify to that, but put it down in the record, it's properly coded as far as the insurance company is concerned, because when they look at the medical record, there it is.
You still have to perform the services to the stream.
You're aware in your various roles that as a hospital, when you send out bills to the insurance company, those create financial obligations not just for the insurance company, but for the patient and their family, right?
Depending on the insurance plan they have, yes, sir.
Majority
and depending
of the time.
On, well, may I explain?
Is it true or not,
Honor,
that in certain instances...
Wait. He can finish his answer.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. The reason why it's important to understand is because it depends on if there's secondary insurance or not, and who that secondary insurance is. So that's why it matters, because in instances where we bill insurance companies for it, if there's a secondary insurance, and depending on who that secondary insurance is, the ability to bill the patient afterwards may not be allowed.
Let me ask you this way. Have you looked to see what kind of financial obligation the hospital's billing for complex regional pain syndrome as the focal point, even as late as December and January, created for the Kowalski family?
I have not. I'm not aware of any.
Can't speak to that, right?
That is correct, sir.
All right. No further questions this time.
Sure.
So, Mr. Banker, I think, just to be clear, when All Children's is sending a bill that includes a diagnosis of CRPS among the diagnostic-related group to Aetna, before Aetna pays that, they're checking when requesting records to see did All Children's provide medically necessary services for that code. Is that right?
That is correct, sir.
So if the jury has heard testimony from experts that the treatment for CRPS is physical therapy, occupational therapy, and cognitive behavioral therapy, what Aetna is doing before they pay their bills when they're requesting records is to see did All Children's provide those services in relation to the code? Is that right?
That's correct, sir.
And in your review of the entire months of Maya's stay, did Aetna ever reject those bills for CRPS?
We have not received any denials for medical necessity or authorization that I've not seen.
And even to this day, in 2023, years later, that's still true. Aetna still has not...
I am not aware of them recouping any dollars for any services rendered.
And from your review of the bills, did you see whether, I know you saw the copay zero, do you know if Mr. Kowalski ever paid anything?
I am not aware of any patient obligation or anything that has been paid.
No other questions, sir.
One more question.
Were you aware that the Johns Hopkins expert that came in here to testify about CRPS, complex regional pain syndrome, testify that Maya never had that condition?
Sir, I'm not aware of anything that has taken place prior to me being here today.
No other questions.
Members of the jury. Hey, Mr. Thancred, there's several questions, but before that, there was a question from one of the jurors about the medical bills and I just forgot what I was going to say.
You want me to remind you, Your Honor?
Yes, please.
The attorneys are working on the submissions to the jury, which should hopefully include the relevant medical bills.
There we go. And why I couldn't remember that just 10 seconds previous, I don't know. Now, Mr. Bankrupt, the questions are from the jury. Can you tell us, if you know, the interval criteria that utilization review uses for CRPS?
I cannot tell you the interval specific to CRPS. What I can tell you is the submission between October and January, there was 14 requests from Aetna for us to fill for the to provide medical records to them for the services that we were rendering. But as far as individually for CRPS, no, sir.
Again, if you know, can you tell us the interval criteria, that utilization criteria used for conversion disorder?
Once again, the criteria for a specific disorder is dependent upon how long the authorization is good for. Okay, so when we are, for some services that we have to render as a provider, we have to get authorization from the insurance company to be able to perform, before we can even perform those services, okay? And so the authorization to be able to perform those services has to take place for a period of time, and that authorization only lasts for so long before you have to go back and ask again to continue that level of care.
Just hold that for the next round.
It's the wording.
I'm sorry?
It's the wording.
It's the wording?
Yep.
Sorry. Q-U-A-L?
Yeah, Interqual.
Interqual.
Yeah.
I apologize. So, can you tell us the Interqual criteria, that utilization criteria they use for conversion disorder? That's
I cannot. The case management or utilization management team would be able to answer that question, but me personally, I cannot. I'm not a case manager by trade.
Okay.
Now,
good question.
The next question, again, if you know, can you tell us the criteria for unspecified child maltreatment confirmed?
Can you read that again, Your Honor, please?
If you know, can you tell us the criteria for unspecified child maltreatment confirmed?
Unfortunately, that falls along the lines of a professional or certified coder, and I do not have that certification. There would have to be documentation in the record to call that out for the coder to be able to come in and classify that diagnosis.
Is this correct? The coder will place the primary diagnosis first?
The amount of care that is provided, okay, to trigger what is going on the most, that will automatically move up to the top. So whatever is the focal point of care at that point in time will have a tendency to rise to the top. It's also, I think, very important to understand that a lot of times what starts out as the focal point of care when a patient comes in through our doors doesn't end up being the focal point of care at a later point in time. We have a common practice. It is common practice in healthcare that when a patient comes to our facility, that outside physicians or outside providers who are rendering care give us, you know, some form of background, some form of information of services that they're providing for this patient or treatment that's being done. And that's usually what we start out with. And that's usually what starts out with in the care of the patient because of the expertise of that outside provider or the feedback that we get from that patient. But as the stay continues, that can obviously change in terms of what's being treated.
Can you describe to the jury what a DRG is?
Yes, sir. A DRG stands for diagnosis-related groupings. What happens, and it goes back to the pizza analogy that I provided, there's multiple diagnoses that are provided for that patient during their care for that period of time, okay? And when you bundle them all together, they're individual diagnoses, but when you bundle them all together, it triggers what is classified as the DRG or diagnosis-related grouping. What that means is, hey, all these services that you rendered fall in line in treating this type of particular illness or this kind of particular malady, okay? And so that DRG is then submitted on the hospital side to the insurance companies to go through the reimbursement process.
Following that question, is that bundle payment for a specific diagnosis?
That bundle payment is not for a specific diagnosis. That bundle payment is for all the services that were rendered to treat that, to treat the patient for that period of care. As I mentioned previously, it covers, there was multiple maladies that that DRG covered, as well as the room and board, the physical therapy, the occupational therapy, and the respiratory therapy that was taking place. So it wasn't just for a particular diagnosis. It's for all of the services that we performed, including room and board and the therapies.
When you say the hospital billed for meds, PT, OT, respiratory therapy, what diagnosis did you bill those under? There has to be a diagnosis tied to those services, question mark?
Yeah, so when all those services are rendered, they are part, added together with all the other services that we do, okay? Whether it was administration of any medications, whether it was lab work, whether it was anything else that we did during that period of time, the therapies, along with the other services that we did, would all get wrapped together to be part of that DRG or part of that reimbursement. They have revenue codes that are assigned to each one of them individually, and codes that are assigned to them individually, that when you combine them together, form that diagnosis-related grouping.
Do you work closely with the utilization review team in your hospital?
I have the privilege of overseeing the case management and utilization management team at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital.
When a patient is admitted to the hospital, isn't it correct the utilization team will review the diagnosis the patient was admitted under and use the InterQual criteria to see if the patient meets the admission guidelines for that diagnosis, in this case, CRPS. If Maya did not meet the guidelines for the diagnosis of CRPS per InterQual, would have been a peer-to-peer review with physicians, correct?
That is correct, sir.
Then every few days, the utilization team will perform a concurrent review to continue to be sure Maya's care and treatment continues to meet guidelines for inpatient admission and get authorization from her insurance. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And Mr. Shapiro, I've now completed the reading of the juror's questions. Do you have any further questions?
The education. I don't. Thank you.
Yeah. Mercy.
You don't want to ask what InterQual is? I'm being facetious. May this witness be excused.
Yes,
or actually, members of the jury, did you have any other questions?
He may be excused.
And release from all subpoenas?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you all's time. Take care.
$140 for the jury to be back, ready to go. Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do the investigation and receive no information.
All rise. Jurors exit.
The jury is out of our presence. Any issues we need to address before we
go?
And if we were back at 125, is that appropriate?
Yes, sir.
Did you say 140?
What? 140 for the jury, 125 for us, giving us 15 minutes.
Yes.
See you at 125.
Thank you.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Ahora en McDonald's, te puedes llevar un $5 McChicken Meal Deal o un $6 McDouble Meal Deal. Así, hay algo para todos. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu Meal Deal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Save big money when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior wood stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture. It repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life, 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today.
Save big money at Menards.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.